to Spreading the Good Stuff, a podcast for regional women who want to thrive in their work, wellness, family and community. We share stories of triumph, challenge, growth and change in business and in life, and offer helpful insights and advice to empower you to live your best life, however that looks for you.
Welcome back to Spreading the Good Stuff podcast. I'm Christy O'Brien.
I'm Leonie Canham.
And I'm Katrina Myers.
Welcome, ladies. Love to be chatting. I feel like there is so much to talk about. And welcome back to all our listeners as well. Today's topic is called Chasing Your Dreams. And the timing is perfect because we have to talk about the Matildas. Despite the result from last night, which was, you know, heartbreaking for many, there are so many positives that have come out of this Women's World Cup that we've all been watching and all jumped on the bandwagon, which has been awesome. But the topic has actually come from one of our lovely listeners, Jamie, who has asked us to discuss chasing your dreams, particularly when you've got little people and you're at home and you want to chase your dreams, but perhaps you haven't got the time or the headspace to do so, which is a great topic. And we're all at slightly different stages, as many of our listeners are as well. So we are going to talk about that at the back end of this episode. But of course, we have to talk about the amazing Matildas, first things first. So many positives, which the three of us will share. I just want to list a few, obviously showcasing women in sport, amazing women in sport. Also the diverse crowd. I had a chat with a taxi driver in Melbourne about 10 days ago about how the World Game, as it is called, it just brings everybody from all backgrounds, all ages, all genders, all abilities together to support a sport. And I don't know about you guys, but I find, like, you know, footy fans are pretty similar. Cricket fans are really similar as well. But soccer fans are really diverse. And I think that's what has been really amazing to see. I've loved seeing women's sport on the front and the back page of the paper only in the last little bit, but we'll talk about that as well. Positive role models, like so many positive role models from this team for young girls and young boys. And, you know, watching the coach cry on the sidelines when they won last Saturday and how they just went about it, like how they responded to wins and losses and how they treated each other and the people around them was just, it just gives me goosebumps and it almost brings me to tears. So that's my take on it, ladies, but I'd love to hear yours. Leonie, do you want to kick off?
Yeah, and I think just to preface as well, we're recording on Thursday, so the semi-final just happened last night, but this episode will be released on Monday. So there will be another game will have been played between now and then. So it's Saturday night for the to decide third and fourth place in terms of our Matildas playing again. Yeah, agree with so much of what you said, Christy. It's just been such an amazing time. There's been so many different issues to come out of it in terms of, yes, women's representation in sport and media coverage and the discussion around, you know, that argument that's been there for a long time and so many people saying you just can't commercialise women's sport. And, you know, that is just being blown out of the water over these last few weeks. And like you said, Christy, the big thing for me has been around the fact that this all-female sporting team is not just inspiring, you know, young girls and women. It's everyone. It's young girls, you know, women of all ages. It's men of all ages, young boys, older men, everyone out there talking about it, people who've never watched sport before in their lives. It's just united and galvanised a nation. And, you know, for me, a mother of all boys, I have just, it's been so exciting to watch my family and, you know, my husband as well, but four boys in the family just embrace this even more than I have. To see them screaming louder at the TV for women playing sport than they do for their own footy team, which, you know, you girls know what my boys like with their Saints, but... I was in Melbourne at the weekend with my Colbo girlfriends who we catch up with, have a kind of weekend away or a couple of weekends away each year. And we all were together watching it Saturday night. And when I rang home to my family, the four of them were all outside sitting around the fire with the big screen on watching this game and were beside themselves. And they rang me at the end of it and they couldn't even talk. That's just been, I don't know, there's been so many amazing things. And we were in Melbourne on Saturday night watching it, and we were at a pub to start with, and then we moved on from there, and we had a booking at an Italian restaurant for dinner partway through the game. So the six of us have all got our phones and we're still watching it, and we were went into this little restaurant and no one in the restaurant was watching it, and by within sort of 10 or 15 minutes everyone in the restaurant's gathered around us all and didn't bring our food to us because the whole kitchen was part of it. All the chefs in the kitchen were jumping up and down and screaming, and every penalty shot, like this whole little restaurant was part of it. And just that sense of oneness, which I just feel like we all needed so much. That's been the big thing for me, and obviously so many other things to come from it and so many discussions to have moving forward on where we go from here and the opportunities that exist. But it's just a really lovely feeling and a little bit of heartbreak today for all of us after losing that game last night. But, gosh, there was still just so much excitement in it, and that goal by Sam Kerr, oh, far out.
I know.
Yeah, I wonder if we'll ever experience a time like this again in our generation. I feel like we're pretty lucky to have been part of it. What about you, Katrina?
Oh, mate, I just incredible. Like, I have been beside myself. I feel all those feels. Like, even just listening to you then talk about, like, I got quite emotional about the whole oneness thing. Like, just absolutely love these moments in time where we all come together. And I think it really is just so, so special to have been part of it. I think I did get a sense of that. Well, actually, there's a couple of things. I've got lots to say on this because there's so much to say, as you can imagine, about the whole women in sport and, like, women and women. But, you know, so this was the most watched, that semi-final, sorry, the last Saturday's game, the quarterfinal, was the most watched sporting event since Cathy Freeman won the 800 metres. A woman. And then the next most watched event was Ash Barty at, I think it was the US Open, another woman. And I'm like, how interesting that it's like all these women that are doing actually all these incredible things, yet we still say, oh, women, you know, why would you want to watch that? It's like, well, actually, they're what's bringing everybody together, having these incredible moments in sporting history around women, but we still want to say that it's not as good, and we don't want to give it as much money, and we don't want to fund it and do all these things. And I'm just like, oh my God, it's so incredible. And you know, I the Mamma Mia girls were actually talking about this. There was an article written in, I think it was the Daily Telegraph, by a guy about how, you know, oh, well, it's all right, this is great because it's just such good quality and we're all excited about it because it's the World Cup, but all other women's sports are still shit, basically. And the point which Holly made, which I completely agree with, is it's because we don't invest in them as much. We haven't been investing in them for the long term, and we have been investing in women's soccer now, and it's taken years to get to this point. Men have had, like, I don't know, 100 years of support and money and funding and, like, building them up and having people to look to as role models, and kids growing up with that. Like, it's so new still to have women in this position and to have it funded. And so I just look forward to and hope and dream that this is. And, you know, one of the players, I can't remember which one it was this morning, I watched her interviewed. Oh, it might have been after the game last night. She's like, it's a step in the right direction. Like, this is such a big, important step. And so I think, while I feel so sad that they didn't make it, because I actually really thought they would. Like, I just thought they were going to get into the final. But it is such an important step for sporting history, and I'm just so holding on to that, and I'm so excited by that. And just for women, and to just – it just, and the other thing is, like, I think you mentioned this too, Lee, they are such good role models. Like, if we look to a lot of men's sport, and the AFL is horrible for this, the NRL is horrible for this, like, the example that those men set, and, like, honestly, some of the things they do is just appalling behaviour that we should not be looking up to. These women and the coach, and as you said, and everybody involved with the sport, it's just a beautiful energy. Every time, you know, they hug each other, they support the other team, they're like, it's just... The way they speak about it, they're so, you know, professional. Like, it's just everything is just to be absolutely admired, and that is why we absolutely need more women's sport and more women everywhere.
I'm so glad you touched on that element, Katrina, because that's been such a standout feature, hasn't it? Seeing the way they go about it, the way they speak about it. They're exactly after those games when they go up to the other team and they are genuinely so upset for the team that lost the game. Like, that is just, you don't often get to see that. There's just been so much humanity.
Absolutely.
That is.
Even the coach, like, he talked about the pressure of, like, you know, carrying the expectation of the nation on his shoulders. And he basically said, it is a privilege. And I just wonder how many people in elite sport actually think that playing sport is a privilege. And if they do, I'm not seeing a lot of evidence of that sometimes, like across all sports.
100%.
Tennis particularly, you know, just that kind of privilege to represent your country and to kind of respect those who've come before you. You know, like, women have been playing soccer for a really long time. You know, like, there's generations that have already come before, which most of us don't know about. Yeah. And there's a whole, you know, generation to come on the back of this, which is really exciting. And I just wanted to touch on something you had said, Katrina, about, you know, an opportunity here for women. And you touched on it too, Leonie, about where to from here. And I know at the start of the tournament, our women were really, you know, loud and proud about, you know, representing women who don't have it as good. And they have fought really hard. Like we discussed before we started recording about the agreement with Soccer Australia that is now equal between men and women for pay from like World Cups. It's an even split down the middle, which is really unheard of in women's soccer internationally. Some of the best teams in the world don't have that. And other teams like Jamaica, as an example, they don't get any funding from their government. And Bob Marley's daughter had to crowdfund just to get that team here. And they did really well. And that is really, really tough. And I think that's the side of the Women's World Cup that got touched on at the start, but it's perhaps been a bit lost in all the, you know, excitement and the hysteria, which is amazing. But we have to remember that there's still a really long way to go.
Also, Chris, I think that, is this still correct that the prize money for the FIFA World Cup for women is only $30 million, whereas for men it's like $400 million? I read that this morning. I think it was up until like the last World Cup, it certainly was, and I would imagine it's still the same. So I guess you're right, though. That's the conversation that we have to keep having now, isn't it? Like, this is the platform to get that conversation happening and keep it going.
That's right. I also read that, and, you know, we're talking soccer and this is obviously different sports and AFL women's and all those are different again. But in Australia, I think we've got 2,400 soccer clubs across the nation and less than 50%. I think it's around 40, 41% of those clubs are described as female friendly. So nearly 60% don't have enclosed showers or toilets in dressing rooms and that kind of thing. So even in a, you know, here we have this world-beating female soccer team that's probably the most valuable commodity, you know, if they put it on the stock exchange right now, it'd be skyrocketing right to the top. But in our junior or in our clubs across the nation, they're still not really set up for women and for girls.
Well, it's the same for football too, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Although I was just going to mention, like, there's certainly been some positive things happening in for women's football and women's cricket, particularly. There's lots of funding for to increase numbers, and they've probably been in this space for a little while now. So it's really great to put soccer on the map because that conversation then stretches to that sort of, you know, sport as well, and it's super important just to, I suppose, keep pushing the conversation forward. And I think not in a negative way, because there are, like, if you look close enough, like, there are plenty of negatives. Like, at the start of the tournament, I was so frustrated. I shared with you girls, I think it was the day that we made it through to the I think it was the round of 16, and there wasn't anything on the front or the back page. But I think it was the day Buddy Franklin retired and we had this discussion. Herald Sun is just AFL, but this was The Age, and they had Buddy Franklin front and back, not a mention of soccer. And I was having a bit of a discussion with my husband, and he's like, "Oh, it was pretty late, you know, maybe it didn't make the paper." I'm like,
"No, it wasn't that late. No, it would have easily made it."
They had it on the paper today, and it was just as late last night. So I've been watching the coverage, and it has certainly got a lot better. But it's taken a little while for some of the traditional newspapers to come to the party, and they couldn't not, like, but they actually couldn't.
Well, they had to get with the program, didn't they?
I was also reading about, because Channel 7 obviously had the rights for the World Cup, and what a steal they got that for.
Yes.
I think it was something like $5 million. Yep. Or,
I have it too.
Yeah, just unbelievable. But I'm really curious to see as well what happens moving forward now with the AFL. I mean, what will their next step be?
100%. Hopefully it is like that. Just hang on a minute. There is something in this. Duh. Gee whiz. Mm-hmm. It just blows my mind. I actually just cannot even, you know, and it's one of those things like you almost don't know until it's so obvious. It's like, why is it not just the same? Like, I don't even get it anymore.
I've got a couple of articles and that I'll share in the show notes around this, because I heard around this time when I was feeling really frustrated about the newspapers, I heard this really frosty conversation on ABC Sport football on a Saturday. It was Kelly Underwood, and she was questioning the AFL about women's football, and she really got, you know, spoken to quite condescending and quite rude by the guy she was interviewing, about him just going, you know, be patient, like, just, you know, as far as, you know, investing in women's football, he's like, you've got to be patient, just sit back and wait. And she goes, we can't wait. You know, like, we have been in this space and it's not given the, you know, the things that they want. And I don't know the detail on this, but, you know, now you look at the soccer, as you said, like, they can't sit back and wait. They're going to get left behind. Football, AFL football, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Also, Tracy Holmes, I've been following Tracy Holmes from ABC Sport. She's got some excellent articles about the whole background of, you know, equality in soccer across the board, and she's very knowledgeable. So I will share some of her articles, which she's been covering during the Cup, and not just about Australia, but on all the countries that have been involved and what they're up against. Because I think it's really important to educate ourselves and not just celebrate and go, oh, this is great, and then just go, okay, carry on to the next thing. Like, actually think about how we can, as you said, Lee, push this conversation forward.
Mm. And it was interesting. I was listening to the ABC some talk back yesterday, and they had a couple of marketers on talking about the Matildas as well. And I think there's been some camps out there saying, gosh, this is just such a sudden thing that's happened and no one was prepared for it. And even the Matildas themselves and these experts in that space are saying that's not true at all. They have been working behind the scenes, slogging it out, their marketing teams and their digital marketing, the campaigns that they have been running have been extraordinary, just waiting for this moment to capitalize on that organic kind of blowout that happened, which is that I found that really interesting as well, to know that this has been a real strategic plan sitting in behind that team, knowing that the capacity for this to happen was there.
Do you know what? That ties in so beautifully. Actually, I don't know if we're quite ready for that yet, but to our discussion around chasing your dreams, because it takes a bloody long time. And we all just see, oh, look, the Matildas, they're amazing at this peak level. And I am guilty of jumping on that bandwagon because I absolutely bloody loved it. But this has been a 10-year build-up, if not more. Like, you know, and we go, oh, it's just magically happened overnight. And overnight success, it's like, no, not at all. It never, ever is. Like, it never is. And we want to believe that it's like that, because then we could kind of like self-sabotage and make think, oh, well, it's all right for them, or like, look, it's magic and it only happens every now and then. But it's not how it is. It's just.
And I think this is a really good time to just talk about, you know, for me, people could argue that it's about numbers, you know, well, they're not going to make enough money from it and there aren't enough people playing it. So, like, it's like all things. Like, it's, for me, it's not about the numbers. It's about recognition and representation. And this is across all fields, not just sport. Like, a couple of weeks ago, they unveiled a statue of a nurse from World War II at the Australian War Memorial, which was amazing. It was on all the news channels, celebrated and like, yes, excellent. And then I did a bit of digging and a bit of reading. I follow Claire Wright, who's a historian with La Trobe Uni, and she wrote an amazing book about the women of Eureka, which is a great read, which I'll put in the show notes. And she said, yeah, this is awesome, because she's been involved with erecting statues in Melbourne of important women in history. And the reality is there aren't enough. And yes, there were probably more men involved in World War II than women, but it's not about numbers, it's about recognition. And sadly, the War Memorial didn't fund this statue. The nurses involved in this have been working for years and years and years and years to get this single statue erected, which is incredible. But, like, you know, we need to do better.
Mm.
And, you know,
yeah,
it's not about the numbers. It's about just recognizing that these women have done amazing things and we need to acknowledge it, because I didn't know, never heard of this woman before, and I'm sure most of the people in Australia would not. So that, for me, that's my kind of, you know, we need to do better.
And so that's the question then, isn't it, around what's the next step? What needs to happen for us to not let this extraordinary opportunity pass us by, and that it just, you know, in the next 6 months we forget that this ever happened and we go back to the way that we were. What needs to happen to ensure that things change in the way that they need to moving forward?
Well, yes, and do you know what also that raised for me though, Chris, is this whole idea that it's just become so much about the money. And like it's just what you said there, it's not just about, we've made this men's sport, this whole thing, just this money-making machine, and it's like that's our sole focus then. And so instead of recognising women and just appreciating that sport for what it is and then and making it, oh, they're not going to make us as much money, which also is rubbish, like they will. But like, you know, it's become this, just that's the focus, rather than actually like, well, these women are incredible. They're playing sport just as good. We like to watch it. Like, it's really hard, isn't it? It's just all become about dollars and churning out the ads and doing all that stuff. So, and so that then holds us back from actually putting that money into women's sport as well, because then there will be a lag, you know, there's going to be a lag. Like we're seeing it with the football now, like to get the standard up to where, it, you know, where it's going to get to is going to take some time. So it's and money. That's it. Yes, it's so. Yep. But we have become a little bit, you know, maybe over the top with how much we pay all these people. Too, to be fair, yeah. You know, like it's ridiculous.
I think so. Yeah, but look, it has to be everybody has to be in on it, don't they? So it's got to. It's you're talking all levels. It's got to be governments. It's got to be broadcasters, sponsors, clubs. And then the wider community. But I think that what we've seen over these last few weeks is that the appetite is there and it can be done. Definitely. And yes, it's going to cost money, but there are a whole lot of other aspects to that are just as important. And that's in terms of people coming together and all of those stakeholders coming together and really committing to it.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Which sounds like I had another whole conversation for another day.
but so I'm really,
I know it was great to touch on, you know, the amazing, you know, impact and the positives, but it's really important to sort of look at the challenges and to sort of see what we can do moving forward. And for me, it's just about, you know, reading the small print of this statue of this woman that's been erected in the middle of Melbourne. Like who even is she and what did she do and why, you know, and that for me, that's just as inspiring as, you know, watching women on the world stage playing soccer. So we need to be more interested in those stories that perhaps just haven't been told, because we're just fed the usual kind of stuff that's always been fed to us, you know. So be inquisitive and seek out those statues and go and show your daughters and your sons, because
yes.
That's stuff that's really important. I feel that's how I feel anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So we're going to talk some more then about this beautiful listener that has come to us with a suggestion for the topic, and that was around chasing your dreams. And do you want to share a little bit more about that, Christy?
I might even just read what she wrote to us. So she just, this is Jamie on Instagram, and she said, "Hi, lovely ladies. I love your podcast. Not sure if you're looking for suggestions, but I am aching to hear about," when she said aching, I could feel her pain.
Yes.
"I'm aching to hear about the seasons of motherhood in relation to chasing your dreams. I'm 6 years in and my youngest is 2, and I feel like I've been holding on to some dreams and work goals for a long time. And would love to hear what you would have said to your younger mother selves in the newborn stages and the toddler stages particularly. I'm coming to realise this gig doesn't necessarily get easier, but am I wrong for still hoping that the challenges are different in seasons to come?" And I can definitely answer yes, there's challenges in every season. So who wants to start with this? It's such a big topic and we could have a whole episode on it, but I thought given the Matildas and the inspiration that they provided, it's such a good time to talk about chasing your dreams.
It's so, I just love this question. It took me right back to those early days of being in the trenches with tiny babies and going through those stages of questioning careers and work and how you're going to fit it all in and be able to do it all. And everything that she says, even though she's still in those early stages and looking forward, is spot on. I'm in terms of, yes, things do change, but I remember, Christy, when my kids were tiny babies and yours were that bit older, and I remember conversations with you and at times looking and thinking, oh, I can't wait to get to where you're at, where the kids are all at school, for example, or, you know, where they get that little bit older and you get that bit more time back. But I remember you saying it doesn't necessarily, you don't necessarily get more time, that the bigger they get, the bigger the problems get. And gosh, that is just so true. Like, yes, it's not as relentless, the mothering and the parenting, as your children get older. They're not attached to you like they are when they're little. You do get to go to the toilet without the kids coming in every single time.
Mostly.
Yeah. but they need you in a very different way, and sometimes that need can be a 2-hour, 3-hour, 4-hour conversation at night, you know, working through the problems with them and helping them learn how to navigate life as a teen, and, you know, their worries about what they're going to do with their life when they finish school and all that stuff. And those worries that you hold as a mum, I know for me anyway, are so much bigger than when the kids were really little. But in terms of work and dreams and how you kind of navigate that time and juggle it around the kids, I don't know if this is advice or not, but in my experience, I know back when the kids were little and I got out of the media and out of my job in politics because I just found that too difficult, going to a workplace and working around those kind of deadline-driven careers where you just, there wasn't a finish time at work, and you know, if you didn't get the story up by 5 o'clock knock-off time, you could still be there at 10 chasing it. So it was just those, for me, that kind of career in the media was very hard to juggle around kids, which is why I went freelancing in the first place. But I look back at that time when the kids were young and, yeah, I couldn't put the sort of hours into it that I put into my freelancing and business now that the kids are older. And I worked, you know, nights back then when the kids would go to bed, I'd sit up till 1 and 2 in the morning and get my work done, whereas now I get up at 5 o'clock in the morning to get it done because in the evenings the kids need me for lots of other different reasons. So things have changed, and I've been really lucky in my career that as a freelance writer that I've been able to work that around family the whole way through. It hasn't been without its challenges. Like, I know that I've kind of, you know, tried to do it all, and at times that probably hasn't worked, and it's been to my the detriment of my own health at times, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. But my one piece of advice would probably be don't put off dreams with the knowledge or the hope that it might get easier and you might have more time as your kids get older. Don't put it off. Start where you're at and do what you can do, even when they're babies and they're tiny. It might not be everything, and you might not be able to reach that, you know, elusive goal that you're hoping for, but start putting the process is in place, start taking those baby steps when they're little as well, and just keep building on it the whole way through, because maybe it'll change and we're still, you know, 3 kids at home, maybe it'll change when they get older and they're not home anymore, but don't put anything off. I think still do it in a way that feels comfortable for you and prioritizes the things that are most important at whatever stage of life. But just do little things along the way that can keep building towards those dreams and goals, and you will be amazed. I know I've been amazed looking back now at the things that I have been able to achieve over those times while having 3 kids at home and parenting them the whole way through and not having much family support, but being able to be there for them when they've needed me to be and still be able to chase my own dreams. So I don't know if that's helpful at all, but it's been such an interesting question to kind of think back on yourself of what you have managed to achieve over those years in parenting, and it's still going. There's still so much more to come, but certainly don't put it off. What about
you? Lee, and as you were talking, I was reflecting on those years when we started The Splendid Word, and we had you had a baby, like Jed was like literally a newborn, and I think back and I think, oh my gosh, like maybe we were a little bit crazy, but because we were so passionate about doing it and we just made it work, and yes, it was challenging, but you know, you don't know until you have a go, until you just, yeah, don't put it off until life gets easier, because as you said at the start of your conversation, like it doesn't necessarily get easier. You have more headspace, maybe more physical space as your kids get older, but you know,
more
like
physical space, definitely less headspace.
Yeah, exactly. And I just find even just, you know, the demands of teenagers, we've got 2 kids starting uni next year, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, you know, at home things are a lot quieter. We're almost an empty nest now, but everything else is kind of just hitting, you know, hitting fifth gear. But I think for me, when I pondered Jamie's question, sort of work aside, which I'm still fulfilling my work dreams from being a freelance writer, the same as Leonie, thanks to the Splendid Word and just the amazing work we worked really hard for 10 years, you know, I'm still reaping the benefits of that and I'm forever grateful. But from a personal point of view, I've had a dream for at least 10 or 15 years to write a novel. I want to be a novelist more than anything in the world. And I've been chipping away at that. I've been doing a part-time creative writing degree now for 8 years. So I enrolled part-time at La Trobe when the kids were little. And that just keeps the creativity flowing and the goal of getting to that point. And I'm literally 6 months from finishing that now. And the subject I'm doing at the moment is called advanced fiction. And I'm actually submitting parts of my novel as assignments. And it's so real now. And I feel like it's getting so close. I've got the first draft and I'm working on the second draft. But my point here is that you have to seek motivation for what your dreams are everywhere, in everything. And for me, that's podcasts, people around me. I read a book called Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert probably, I don't know how long ago now, 6 or 7 years ago. And on the back of that, I just thought, I have to write this draft. Like the book was literally written for me. Like when I was reading it, like she's actually talking to me in this book because it just inspired me so much to just continue working towards that dream. And, you know, I've got a bit more time now at home so I could, you know, dedicate a bit more time to that. But it's still having the confidence to follow your dream as well. Like sometimes I think, the book's probably going to be rubbish and no one's going to want to read it, but that can't stop me from doing it. And on a micro level too, like this year I'd had a long dream to become a yoga teacher, and because I haven't got kids at home now, I could just go, well, I'm actually going to do that because I've got 3 hours a day that I can dedicate to being a yoga instructor. And I've actually ticked that off. Like, and Katrina, you will understand this. I don't start a lot of things that I finish, actually. No, I don't finish a lot of things that I start always, or it takes me a long time. So to actually just tick that off, and I'm bloody loving that so much. So, which is a smaller kind of goal than writing a novel for me. But you got to seek out motivation. That would be my advice. Mm-hmm. I think among many other things, but in a nutshell.
Well, I actually absolutely love this question. It took me right back as well, and I think it's so, so important. So first of all, I want to say that I think what happens is when we have babies is when is actually the thing that triggers us to really go, what do I want from life? Like so often it's that phase where women go, well, actually I don't like this job that I was able to put up with before, but now my time is so much more valuable. So what do I really want to do? And that actually opens up this kind of dreams, wants, but it's also at this really, really tricky time to actually go and follow your dreams. So I think it's that big part about the seasons of life. I think we should absolutely keep chasing our dreams, but know that it just takes a really, really long time. And if you're in the trenches with babies, just like Leonie said, don't put it off. Have the dreams, chase your dreams, but just you can't necessarily just go full bore at them. Like just be taking little steps each day to work towards them. And then also, I would say, the big learning for me has been learning to love the life I have now while creating the life of my dreams. Because I think what also can so often happen is we're in this really hard patch of life. So we try to escape that in our minds by thinking about all these dreams that we've got. And like we're living in this kind of sort of focusing on the future. And if we could only live out my dreams. And then it creates this huge expectation gap where we're not living the life that we really want to live because we're dreaming of all these things, but we're feeling like crap because we're in the trenches with our babies and we're just like, oh, this is so hard. So the key thing, I think, in all of this work is really to actually learn to love the life you're doing right now. So you've got to love every day. You've got to try to make the most of every day, which is so bloody hard when you've got little babies. But and it's so cliche, but it really has been the goal for me in actually learning to really fully enjoy my life. And I still have lots of big dreams, but I feel like they're not as desperate as they used to be. Like I used to feel desperate about them and like I was failing if I wasn't, you know, because I wasn't doing them and like I was never going to do it and I'm a failure. Whereas now I've just learned that, yeah, I've got the dreams and I'm working on them and I'm happy with where I'm at right now in this stage of my life. And I think that is the really hard thing to do, but it actually sort of allows you to actually have the capacity to work towards your dreams as well. Because if we're so stuck in the future and we're not liking where we're at, and we're just kind of living in this like wanting, and like it just, it makes it really, really hard to actually go after our dreams. So it's really hard. I would say you've got to have a lot of self-compassion at this stage, you know, and just again, don't compare yourself to people who are at a later stage of life. Don't compare yourself to people who are living their dreams. You know, like we just talked about with Matilda's, it's taken them 10 years to get there, however long, like years and years. These guys have been playing soccer forever. And when we look at anyone who's succeeding, I will tell you, I can almost guarantee there is no one. Well, that we know, there's no one who's just done that overnight. There's no one who just pops up. Like everybody has been on a journey to get there. And I interviewed someone recently for my podcast, and she said, you know, listening, she is now, she started her business, she's doing the things. But when you listen to the journey it's taken her to get there, it was such a powerful interview, because it's like, this is the bit that we need to talk about more. And it's unfortunately in our social media world and in this glossy world of like, you know, and sometimes it is that like, well, women are amazing, they're doing all these amazing things, that can actually help, you know, make women who are at home with their babies feel really, you know, even more like, oh God, I'm failing because I'm comparing myself to these people who look to be having it, doing all these things without understanding the backstory and what's really gone into that. And I'm so passionate about sharing that, you know, what it really takes. And then you can ask yourself some really solid questions about, well, do I really want that dream? And get really curious. Like, you might have a dream, but when you actually get curious about what it's going to take to get to that dream, you go, well, actually, I don't want that. But no one's telling enough that part of the story. Like, you have to be away from your family, and you have to work really hard, and you've got to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and you won't get home till 10 o'clock at night, and you're going to work like a dog, and you've got to fork out all this money, and then you go, oh, hang on. The reality of that dream is very different. So I would say get really curious about what your dreams really are and whether they're what you really want, and then what that really takes. And then learn to love the life you've got in all its mundaneness, in all its crappiness, in all the hardness. Practice loving and being present in the life that you have right now, and get really honest with yourself about what your dreams really are and what that really takes. And this is daily work for me. Let me tell you.
That is such good advice.
Whew, yeah. It's hard.
I feel like we're all trying to convince ourselves with it when we say these things as well. But totally. I think it's really important, based on what Jamie was talking about too, to really acknowledge the importance of the job that you have when you have little people or teenagers. Like, it is hours and it is headspace. So, so important. And it's completely unrecognized and underappreciated in society. You know, when you're at home with kids, and whether you have paid work or not, like, this unpaid work, this invisible mental load, you know, harking back to a discussion a couple of episodes ago, it's so important. Like, and I've often felt that with teenagers, like, just to be a fly on the wall or be in around the house when my teenage kids, who don't necessarily need me for anything physically, just overhearing a conversation or getting a vibe for something that's perhaps not going the way they wanted to, has been the most important thing that I've ever done as a mother in my life. Like, just being intuitive and being tuned into where they're at, because that's the stuff that's, for me right now, where I'm at with our kids' age, is really important. So important.
Yeah, bang on. I love what you're saying there, Katrina, about the not getting caught up in what everyone else is doing. And as you say, in this social media world where, you know, it looks like everyone's doing it easy and, you know, baby on the hip and running multi-million dollar businesses and, you know, having the very best lives, it's so important to not get caught up looking sideways and just to stay in your own lane. So, yeah, I just think that's such good advice. And also that the goal, it's not an end game, is it? Like, it is, like you say,
it's the journey, not the destination. It really is.
If you're not enjoying, you know, you've got this goal and you're chasing it and you're not enjoying it day to day, then you really need to spend some time questioning why it is that you're doing it. The thing that I've always found really helpful over the years that Brooke McCallery had shared on her Slow Home podcast eons ago was, and it might sound like an odd thing to do, but I don't know if any of you have ever done it, but to sit down and actually write your own eulogy, because it helps you just to get so clear on what's important to you and the legacy you want to leave and who you want to be remembered as.
Yeah.
And once you're clear on that, and it's actually pretty simple, it makes it so much easier in the day-to-day life to be more present and just, you know, pouring your energy into the spaces that are most important to you. Because otherwise it can get really easy to run off and chase someone else's dream.
Totally. Yeah.
You know what else I was thinking too? Oh, sorry. You go, Chris.
Well, just while Lee's mentioning Brooke McCallery, she's got this wonderful piece of, I suppose it's a document on her website, and it's figuring out what your why is. So what's your why? And it's similar to the sort of the eulogy, same sort of thing, but figuring out what your why is and what you want and why really does help you get to your, well, to pursue your dreams. I shouldn't say get your dreams, because that's a it's the journey, not the destination. Yeah. But yeah, she's got some amazing tools that we'll put in the show notes. They're awesome. Sorry, Katrina, you were.
No, well, I was just something. Also going to add to that, to get curious and get honest with yourself about if you are just putting it off because you're scared. And, like, it is actually uncomfortable to follow our dreams. That's the other thing. Like, it's, you know, it's, so you, it's this kind of balance of all of these things and this juggle of all these things. There's your time, but there's also, like, you know, because you're in, you've got the babies and it's hard and you've got the little kids, but also, like, really ask yourself, am I just scared to chase my dreams? Like, am I just putting it off because I'm actually scared? And, like, a lot of the time it is that too, you know, like, you could actually have the time, but you're scared, which is so common.
Yeah, which is good. I think in that space when you're scared and you feel when you feel vulnerable, that's where you grow the most. And I try and tell our kids that all the time. It's good to feel vulnerable and not sure, and you know, I mean, because that's when you grow. Like, if you're comfortable,
growth only comes from discomfort. I'm just bashing out all the quotes today. I love it. So good. I live this world. I love it.
Pull a little book together of spreading the good stuff quotes, which, you know,
yes, definitely.
This could be our next project.
That would be good, actually. I'd buy that.
So we just want to say thank you again to Jamie. It's always lovely to hear from our listeners and to get such a fantastic question and to really to feel where she's at. I think we've all been there and we're all kind of there.
We're still there. We're there all the time, aren't we?
Yes. And I think about, you know, friends who are a bit older than me and they've got kids having kids now and it's this whole other, like, waiting for the babies to arrive. And I was like, whoa, you know, like, it just kind of never ends. And it's all about just, you know, but I feel like chasing your dreams is really important because I've always felt like it's important for my kids to see me pursuing the things that are important to me beyond them.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
I love that meme that's floating around with the kids trying to ring the mum going, why isn't my mum answering my call? Like, this is her job to, you know, what else would she be doing than answering my phone call? And I often say to the kids, I've got a life to live. I've got stuff to do. Even though I love you, I think it's really important for them to see us pursuing our dreams because it's good role modelling for them.
That is so true. So, so true.
Yeah.
So we might finish off today, ladies, just sharing what we're loving. And I hadn't even thought about this, actually.
Neither have I.
Well, I think we're all just loving the Matildas. Do we just leave it at that?
Yes, we have loved that, haven't we?
I just wanted to share something that I have been loving, and it's to do with the weather. I know Leonie hates the winter, so she...
What are you going to give us today?
No. I just want to share
that.
I'm loving the spring-like weather here in Atucamama. Like, the sun is shining, all the wattles out, which I bloody love. And I've been getting outside more. I have this little sit spot which I try and use in our front yard, even if I haven't got time to go for a walk in the bush, just sitting there watching the birds busy and seeing the kind of buds filling up on the trees. And it just made me think. I write in my journal often when I'm out there, and I've got this saying in my journal that I write every day. It's kind of my intention or my
mantra.
Thank you. Like, I was trying to think of the word. And the mantra is just start how you want to continue, you know, because you have this whole list of things and you want to do this and that and the other. And sometimes you just need to start with one thing. Like, how do I want to continue today? Do I want to spend time in nature? Do I want to do something to pursue my dream, or, you know, just eat well or get more sleep or do more yoga? So just by starting as I want to continue is just, for me, about utilizing the present moment just to think about where I'm at and what I'm doing and just go easy on myself. Like, one thing is enough every day. So time outdoors in nature, enjoying the weather. That's what I'm loving at the moment, ladies. But if you want to stick with Matildas, why not? bloody fair, I would have thought.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with Matildas because I forgot to think about what I'm loving. And I am absolutely loving that so much. I'm loving it.
There hasn't been much space for loving anything else. It's just been all Matildas.
Yeah,
exactly. I think we can give all our love to the Matildas, and I think, you know, just to thank them for what they have done. I'm sure that they'll get thanked a million times. But, you know, just I feel like it's, yeah, it's just been amazing, the long list of things that they have done, and I hope that they fully realize it. Maybe not right now because I'll be disappointed, but just as time goes on, there'll be a continual kind of impact from what they've done, which is
they've awesome. So much joy and filled up, I think, the buckets of everyone across the nation. So, yeah, what a special, special time it's been.
It has. Thank you, ladies, for spreading the good stuff, and thank you to our listeners, and once again to Jamie for her beautiful feedback, and we hope you've enjoyed this episode, and we'll chat again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, guys.
Chat soon. Bye.
Bye. Thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us for another episode of Spreading the Good Stuff. It is so lovely to have your company here. If you enjoyed the show, we would absolutely love it if you hit the little arrow at the top of the podcast iTunes page there, or like it on Spotify, and also give us a rating. 5 would be fabulous. If it's not a 5 for you, then maybe just don't bother. That's okay. But if it is, we would love for you to help us spread the good stuff more by supporting us, and also tell your friends about it. We all know that word of mouth is the best way to learn about new things. Maybe share it on your socials, do a little screenshot of the podcast tile, whatever works for you. But we would just absolutely love it if you would help us spread the good stuff. Thanks, guys.